So the past 11 days have been rather difficult for the Douglas family and for the Pierpont family. That's my daughter's husband. He's a Pierpont. Because their four-week-old son has been in hospital for 11 days with a serious respiratory virus. As a matter of fact, so serious that at 3 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we didn't know if he would make it. We got one of those dreadful calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was a text, and it said he stopped breathing. And his heart stopped pumping. And so, four-week-old Sawyer, for about 30 seconds, had no heartbeat. Well, what does that do to grandparents when you get a message like that in the middle of the night? I said to Phyllis, I think I should just go. And they transferred Sawyer to Indianapolis to the hospital. And there he received some treatment. And you know, you guys have been praying with us for Sawyer's. And the Lord has beginning to heal him. No longer does he have oxygen. Other than he's breathing oxygen on his own, let me put it that way. His heart is pumping blood on its own. I stood at the hospital bed and put my hand on him and was praying for him, and that little rascal just made the biggest yawn right in the middle of my prayer. And he's wiggling and he's moving, and there's a chance in the next couple of days he might get out of the hospital. Can you imagine that? But I got to tell you, this has been a burden. This has been a heavy burden for our family to have them in the hospital for 11 days. And Sawyer has a 2-year-old sister, Sydney. And so just the demands of caring for her and caring for him in the hospital, this has been heavy, hasn't it? And thank you for carrying this burden with us in prayer. We're grateful. Now, this is my burden, but you have burdens too. As a matter of fact, around this room, there's abundance of burdens. And I'm aware of that. And that's why we come together, is to pray together. You've brought your burdens today, and I brought mine. As a matter of fact, William, do you mind helping me bring my burdens to the platform here this morning? And burdens are heavy. And boy, I'm glad we don't have to bear them alone. They're really, really heavy, aren't they, William? Yeah, let's put them up here. I was going to have Sean help me, but he couldn't have lifted that like you did. So that's right. Well, there we go. There's my burdens. And I bet we could fill 5-gallon buckets throughout this room with burdens that we're bearing today. Well, this morning, we're not going to talk about all the burdens in this bucket. We can't talk about all the burdens in this room, but we're going to talk about two burdens this morning, and we're going to see different aspects of those burdens. You see, our Lord Jesus came to earth. He came to free us from burdens. He proclaimed it this way in John chapter 8 to the Jews. In John chapter 8, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Then they answered, "We are the offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone." Pause. Had they ever been enslaved? Oh, you bet they have, to Egypt. They're forgetting, aren't they? "We've never been enslaved to anyone," they said. How can you say we will become free? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but a son, he remains forever." And then verse 36, Jesus said, "So if the Son," referring to himself, "sets you free, you will be free indeed." You will be free indeed. You see, the Jews, they had been enslaved in Egypt. And the Jews in Jesus' day were still enslaved, not to Egypt, but they were enslaved in attempts to keep the law perfectly, and they couldn't do it. Now, we may not be enslaved to the Jewish law as they were, but we all have a tendency to be enslaved or burdened by something that tends to overwhelm us. And we're going to explore two of these burdens this morning. Two of them, and some aspects of them that enslave us. And we're going to be reminded this morning that we have been set free from these burdens. We have been set free. We're no longer enslaved. But then we're going to ask a question over and over again this morning. Okay, if Jesus came to set us free, why do we still feel so overwhelmed, burdened by the very things he came to set us free from? Why? This morning, we're going to understand that Jesus really meant it when he said, we can be free indeed through Jesus Christ. Will you pause and will you close your eyes? And we just need to pause and pray together because, oh Lord, you know that this is your word that I'm proclaiming this day. And we're going to read a lot of your scripture this morning. And I confess that I have been quite distracted this week in my study. And I'm in a room where people are also have life distractions all about them, and even this morning there's probably something that could be distracting. We ask that we might abide in your word, even as John chapter 8 tells us, that we might abide in your word this morning, that your word will be within us tomorrow and every day that follows, that we will remember you and remember your promise that we can be free indeed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, in my bucket of burdens here are two. And the first burden that we've actually been freed from, we have freedom from the burden of sin. It's a big burden, the burden of sin. We've been freed from the burden of sin. And we can see that in Romans chapter 6. As a matter of fact, I don't have it on the screen, but if you take your Bibles and find Romans chapter 6, there's quite a lengthy explanation here of how we have been freed from sin and what that looks like. But let me just give you a taste of it in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15, where it says, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which leading only to more lawlessness, so now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end leads to eternal life. For the wages of sin is, class, what's the next word? The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 6. And this lengthy passage, which has a lot of theological terms, and it may confuse you, but let me pare it down to you to one of the things we are freed from. And this is we are freed from the penalty of sin. This is a burden. We are free from the penalty of sin. We don't have to bear the consequence of our sin. And the scriptures told us right there that the wages of our sin is death. It's death. We have been freed from the penalty of sin. We don't have to bear that anymore. It's called justification, is the big theological word we often use. And this is only possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through his crucifixion, through his death, through his burial. He took the penalty of our sin. And when we turn to Christ believing that he took our punishment, then we are declared righteous, just as if we had never sinned. The penalty is paid in full, and we are freed from the debt of sin, and we are made right with God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Christ Jesus died physically, yes, we know that. He also died spiritually. He was separated from God the Father as he took upon himself all of our sin and gives us his righteousness. Separation from God. For the first time, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was that separation. And what this means is we get his righteousness. And as Romans chapter 8 tells us now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We are set free. We no longer need to bear this burden of the penalty of sin. We are free from it. We won't be judged in heaven because those sins have already been covered through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So if I'm set free from this burden of the penalty of sin, why do sometimes I still worry about, well, I know I'm forgiven, but I still did it. We still pick it up, don't we? We pick up the penalty of sin, and yet we've been freed from it. Why do we do that? Why? Well, before we answer that question, why, let me tell you something else we've been freed from. We have been freed from the, not only the penalty of sin, but we've been freed from the power of sin. I brought that in my load of burdens today, the power of sin. We have been freed from the power of sin. You see, Jesus Christ overcame sin and death by his resurrection, and he enables us to not be enslaved by sin. He gives us a new way to live, as we saw in Romans chapter 6. It says, and having been set free from sin, we've been set free from the power of sin. We don't have to obey it anymore. It does not control us. He is working for our sanctification. He is purifying us that we might not be controlled by sin any longer. Now, do we still have that tendency to allow sin to control us? Well, yeah, there is still that tendency because sin is still within me, but now I have the power to say no to sin. He gives us that. He gives us that victory over the power of sin. Even as 1 Thessalonians tells us, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He's doing a work of sanctification in our lives. He has freed us from the penalty, but he is also freeing us from the power of sin. So, okay, David, I hear you. I hear what the scriptures say. But why do I sometimes feel as if I can't help myself but to sin? Why? Why do we still have that tendency to pick up this burden and carry it with us? Why? Well, we're going to answer that question in a minute, but you need to understand that one day, there will be a day when we will be completely free of the presence of sin. That's the next burden, the presence of sin. One day, sin will no longer be present within me and within you. We will be free from the presence of sin. Now, that day is yet to come, and we read about it in this same verse in 1 Thessalonians where it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And it goes on to say that your whole spirit, soul, body will be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he who called you is faithful, and he will surely do it. This sounds a lot like what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, where he says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful, and he will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. We will one day be free of that burden of the presence of sin. And oh, what a day it will be when we won't have that burden anymore. That day is yet to come. Now, there it is. Sin. It's a heavy load, isn't it? And so the question we keep asking is, well, why, if I'm free from it, why do I keep picking it up and taking it with me? Why? Why? What is it about me that keeps it with me when I'm free of it? Well, we're going to answer that question in a minute. You're eager for it, aren't you? We get frustrated by it. We want to know why. Why? But let me remind you what the scriptures say. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's what I want to remind you. And we're going to find out in a minute why we keep picking it up. Can I tell you something else you're freed from, though? Not just sin, but in my bucket of burdens here, there's something else that we keep, it's a burden that we keep hauling around with us, and it's a heavy burden. And in my bucket of burdens is the burden of performance. We have been freed from the burden of performance. It's related to sin in a lot of ways. But this burden of performance, it shows its ugly head when we forget that we are free from the attempts to earn God's grace, God's favor. We have been freed from that. We don't have to worry about earning God's favor. Why? Because he has extended his grace, which is a free gift. It's a free gift. And we read about it in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. We did nothing to earn peace with God. We did nothing. He graciously extends to us forgiveness of our sins because our sins were covered, as we already saw, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly kept the law, and he gives us his righteousness when we call to him for salvation. By grace, we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, the free gift of God. Okay? I hear you, David. But then why do sometimes I treat my relationship with God as if it depends on my ability to do things perfectly? Why? I didn't do my daily devotions a couple times this week. I was too busy at the hospital with my kids. I sometimes forget to be kind to other people around me or pray for people, even when I've told them I'm going to pray for them. Or sometimes I know God is prompting me to give to help the need of another, but sometimes I just don't do it because I forget, or I'm unwilling to make a phone call and to see how I might be an encouragement to them. Well, why? You see, sometimes we go through these thoughts and we feel like, oh, I'm going to lose God's favor. This is a burden we keep picking up. We think that we need to earn God's favor. And we need to remember that we have been freed from the attempt to earn God's grace. We can't earn it. He gives it freely. So why do we keep picking it up? Why? Can I tell you something else we're freed from, though, too? It's related to performance. Not just to earn God's favor, but in my bucket of burdens. Oh, there it is. There's another one that's related to performance. This is a heavy one. You ready? We have been freed from the burden of earning man's approval. We've been freed from the burden of earning man's approval. Boy, this is a heavy one. This is really a heavy burden here. I put it on stack with all the others because they're all heavy, but that one, wow, it's heavy. It's so heavy that Paul wrote about it to the Colossian church. You can see it in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I don't have it on the screen, so either listen or look at it in your Bibles. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 6. You see the church that Paul's writing to in Colossae, they were struggling with false teachers. That's what you're going to hear. And those false teachers were telling them that they needed to earn God's favor and that they needed to win man's approval. That's what you're going to see reading in verse 6 of Colossians chapter, did I say Colossians? Galatians chapter 1. Now you got to move to the right book. Good thing I'm not trying to win your approval. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Can't believe you're doing this. You know the truth and you're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one. But there are some who trouble you and want you to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Oh, this is heavy. As we have said before, and so now I say it again, if anyone's preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Oh, don't listen to that false teacher. And then in verse 10, for am I seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. You see, Our whole purpose as followers of Christ is to promote Him, is to exalt Him. That should be what I'm living for. Living to exalt Jesus Christ and not myself. That's our goal. And if suddenly I'm carrying the burden of attempting to earn the approval of others, I'm not a very good servant of Jesus. Because as a servant of Jesus, my purpose is not to impress others. My goal is to seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ above all others, even over myself. I want to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's my goal. And when I continually try to pick this burden up of earning man's approval, I've been set free from this. I don't have to live that way. I have to live in obedience to Christ, not trying to earn your good favor. By the way, this is a heavy one. Happens all the time to us, doesn't it? I care what you think about me. That's why this morning when I went and got my clothes, I wanted to make sure that my sweater matched my coat because I wanted you to think I looked nice. How'd I do? Okay. Yes. Okay. It happens to us all the time. We care about what other people think all around us. We're overly concerned. Now, it's not wrong to try to make friends. But when we make this a priority over obedience to God, this can be overwhelming. This burden can weigh us down. The burden of winning the approval of others. I hope I'm not alone in this. Do you recognize this in your own life? It's overwhelming. It can be debilitating even. It's a burden that we have freedom over. We don't need to pick it up anymore. We need to put it down. But why? Now, by the way, when you take all these things we've been freed from, and there's a whole load of them here, whole load of burdens, man, the weight of this is really significant. This weighs you down. If you try to carry these around and hang on to them, even though God has given us freedom over them, it weighs you down. So the big question we return to, why? Why do we have such a tendency to pick up and carry the burdens that Christ has told us that we would be free indeed? Why? Why? Well, because of time, I better give you the answer. But do you have one in your head? You see, we are free from sin's penalty, power, presence. We have been freed from attempts to earn God's favor and man's approval. We've been freed from those. Maybe Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 give us the answer. Shall we read all three chapters this morning? Shall we read all three chapters this morning? You're afraid to answer. I'll give you a summary. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We'll start in verse 21. And we're going to see if we can figure out why we have this tendency to do this. Romans chapter 7. Verse 21. Paul had this battle going on within him, and he wrote about it in chapter 6 and even into chapter 7. And he writes this in verse 21 of Romans chapter 7. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. There's the answer. Within us, lies the presence of sin, as we already saw. And that presence will be there. But one day we will be glorified and we will no longer have the presence of sin. And you know the way that sin nature within us displays its ugly head? It displays itself in a word that the Lord hates. It's pride. It's pride. The presence of sin makes me wanting to live the Christian life on my own strength. And I'm here to tell you, don't be burdened by this sin of pride. Don't be burdened by pride. James talked about it. He told us how God opposes the proud. But you know what God does? He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. When I am so proud to think that I can do this, I can overcome this sin and this sin in my strength. I can do it. I can do all the right things. Or I can live right before God in my own strength. I can do this and this and this, and He'll be happy with me. Or, if I just look this way, or if I speak the right words, those people are going to like me. When I think I can do this in my strength, that is pride. That is pride. That's why we keep picking up these burdens. And what the Lord wants for us is not to be burdened by pride, but to be freed by growing in humility. He wants us to be humble. He gives grace to the humble. In James, it tells us to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's quite humbling what the text says. It says to cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Boy, that's humbling when you pour yourself out to God in that way and mourn your sin. It's humbling. Humble yourselves before the Lord, the text says. And you know what the result of that is? And He will lift you up, it tells us in James chapter 4. Are you willing to confess, God, I keep trying to pick this up. I can't do it. That's the place to start. The place to start is as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, to admit that what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Start there, acknowledging that I need help. And take four drastic steps. These are mine. I wrote these down. Take a drastic step to overcome life-dominating sins. God, I can't do it. And you just tell me what to do to overcome this life-dominating sin that seems to have such control over me. Whatever it is, I'll do it. And what might that be? What might a drastic step be? It might be to consume yourself in the Word of God, to go away for a whole day with just you and your Scriptures. And as we started in John chapter 8, to allow the Word of God to abide in you for a lengthy period of time. And it says in the text that the truth, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Take a drastic step. Consume yourself in the Word of God. Ask a godly friend to help you overcome the penalty of sin, the presence of sin, the power of sin. Ask a godly friend to help you overcome the performance, trying to earn God's favor and man's approval. Ask a friend to help you. Possibly it's a pastor or a church leader or just someone that knows and loves the Lord. Will you just help me? You see, this takes away pride. This is humbling, and it's a great place to start. And plea to God in prayer to help us, help you gain victory over these attempts to exalt self and instead to glorify Him. That's what He wants from us. That's why we keep hanging on to these. It's pride. It's pride. Oh, we have been freed. And as Jesus said, you have been freed, so be free indeed. Thanks be to God. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Our music team's going to come, and we're going to sing about the mystery of the cross. And ultimately, without Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary on our behalf, we would have these burdens still weighing us down all the time. But because of Jesus, we can be free indeed. I ask you to bow in prayer, realizing that the topics of sin are heavy, maybe even awkward to acknowledge that I'm such a sinner, that I have a life-dominating sin that I can't seem to control. And yet, as followers of Christ, oh Lord, I ask on behalf of my brothers and sisters that if sin has power over them, that you would allow them to understand that they can be freed from them. And then those who, Father, in this room that don't know you, that have never placed their trust in the Lord Jesus as the one who took away the penalty of their sin, I pray that those folks would turn to Christ this day. Oh, what great hope we have in the cross. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.